so fascinating.
Shoes and shirt coordinating.
Ooh, captivating. Let's grab lattes while we're waiting. Hey, I have an idea.
What?
Let's talk fashion.
Love it. How's Friday at 4?
Okay, that's bad, but so much fun.
Woo!
So fascinating.
Love this look that you're creating.
Ooh, fascinating.
This talk is illuminating. Oh, so fascinating. Groundbreaking and devastating.
Wow, I'm roller skating.
So much beauty, it's suffocating.
So
fashion.
I've never in my life yelled at a girl like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Parade.
Okay.
London, Berlin,
start.
Mm-hmm. Barcelona.
Hi.
And welcome.
How are you?
Welcome to So Fascinating, Bitches.
The fashion comedy podcast that
has your grandma saying, "What's that on What's your that radio?"
Yeah. And has your dad saying, "Ooh la la," because your dad's French.
I'm gay.
I'm gay. Nah.
Ooh la la, I am a homosexual.
It
now.
Is sort of like, honestly, like, okay, the early 2000s was all like my son is gay. Mm-hmm. Like 2019, 2018 is all like, my dad is gay.
Do you think so?
Isn't that the whole thing?
Oh, let's put our phones on airplane.
Okay. Don't you kind of feel like that's the thing though? It's like it used to be like everyone was dealing with how the son is gay, but now it's all, everyone is like, the parents, they're gay.
I think that's very 2019. Right? It's like, do not talk to me about fashion because I am gay now.
Yeah.
I like also like a dad becoming gay and he doesn't want to talk about fashion actually.
Oh,
is that okay. Like he's like, don't make me more gay than I already am.
Oh, I thought you were saying like I'm gay, but I'm not that kind of gay.
Yeah, I like right, that too. Yeah. And if we can make any of your parents gay, let's just say mission accomplished.
Yeah, let's just say that is fascinating.
That is so fascinating.
So how are you?
I know, let's unpack.
you guys can probably hear the breathiness of this, right?
Fully exhausted.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's like, I think winter is complicated for me. Uh-huh. I'm desperate to get out of the city. My work doesn't provide me any respite or breaks. Okay. I'm very sick of New York right now. Okay. Unless you want to take me to a new place, a new club, a new situation. I feel like I've seen it all 10 million times.
So my question is, what is complicated about that? Because it just seems like that's just bad. Right?
Yeah.
It's okay to just say winter sucks. Right? Like,
winter sucks and I'm blaming it on winter, but it's really just because I haven't been out of the city for an actual period of time longer than like 2 days in a million years.
Well, yeah, but like also winter is just horrible. I mean, classic, canonically, this is the time of year where I say, I think I should move back to LA.
I know.
And
I
then
feel
canonically,
the
sun comes out in a few
weeks.
Weeks.
And I feel like I could never.
I will never leave New York.
I know. I feel the same way, but it's just like I can't. Every day is like I'm also about to get my period. Not to be that girl.
Also, sorry. So right now the situation is that you're wearing headphones, and by the way, I'm not navigating away from that because I'm like, ew, let's not talk about periods. We can get back into that.
Right,
I'm
absolutely.
Just sort of like, this isn't like a periophobic.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. It could be. It should
question
be.
Note,
to be
so you're talking very softly. You have both headphones in, and I'm wondering if I should be talking softer.
No. You're sounding great.
Okay, just checking in.
I'm just sort of getting into hearing my voice.
Okay.
You sound amazing.
I'm just saying that you sound so different than what you normally sound.
Really?
Like.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
because
I do.
Because you're doing a sort of NPR thing right now, which is
What a Bjork thing?
NPR.
Oh, I am, because I think they have headphones on NPR.
So what you're telling is that we should have had headphones on this entire time. That way we wouldn't be screaming.
We would
and
be
then
screaming.
Going between screaming and whispering the whole time. Because I do editing these episodes is crazy, the spikes of sound that
I
happen.
Know, but now there's not going to be literally any spikes. Can you believe?
Okay, that's going to make my editing go from 7 hours to
one.
Six and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm doing sort of an NPR thing, but I just think like I'm being grounded. I just think like I sound really grounded right now.
You do sound really grounded.
Yeah. I feel like people are like recognizing that I'm not this sort of like hot mess of a host, and I'm actually more of a ground. Well, let's see.
Well, then let's give it a couple weeks when the sun comes out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to talk news?
Yeah, let's talk news.
Let's get into the news. Okay. So, news. Ruby, do you have any news?
No, I think I want.
Okay, great.
I honestly don't. Yeah. Go. Okay. What's your piece of news, bitch?
Okay. My news. Fashion news. So, like, what? Stop.
Okay. Fashion news.
So, I'm. As we may have mentioned before, it is winter. Mm. And for the first time in my life, I am like buying jackets that help as opposed to just jackets, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a huge like learning curve from California and into
it's crazy.
Person that lives
when
in
I moved here,
cold
when I moved here, I was yeah. so fucking mad because I moved here and people yeah. were like, do you have, I told people that I was moving here, moving in mid-December. They were like, do you have a jacket? And I was like,
what are you talking about?
What the
about?
Fuck yeah. are you talking about? Of course I have a fucking jacket. Living in California doesn't mean you don't. Oh, I'm like, oh, I'm only ever in tank tops and necklaces.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, I know, right? But, so I've been here now for 6 years.
Okay. That's a minute.
Yeah, and this is the first year that I purchased a, actually.
North Face.
Puffy. It is not a North Face jacket. It is Coach. But it was very cheap. I got a cheap. I got on
North Faces are expensive.
North Faces and the Canadian Gooses are expensive.
But we don't do Canadian Goose.
We don't do Canadian Goose.
Wolves. Save the wolves. Bip.
Save the wolves?
Yeah, they kill wolves.
They kill wolves to make the jacket? Yes, what does that mean? Like the wolves are guarding the nylon.
No,
like,
it's like
the, that's their food source. The geese are their food source.
No,
the fur collar is wolf.
Yes,
fur?
Yes. You should be murdering the people that wear Canada Goose. It's not cool. It's wolves, bitch.
I'm gaping. Right
yeah,
now.
Your asshole is gaping right now.
Every hole in me is gaping.
Yes, haven't you been to Soho once and seen the Canada Goose? Like, these wolves are dying for your fashion.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh my God, they're everywhere.
I'm never on that blog.
Oh, the classic PETA blog?
the PETA classic blog. Soho blog.
Yeah, the Soho blog yeah, of PETA blog. Ads. Yeah.
That's wretched.
It's wretched.
It's wretched. But anyway, so I purchased... By the way, can you guys hear that honking? There's a car alarm going off outside. And
yeah, you definitely can.
You definitely can hear it. Okay, great. Well, it's texture. Okay?
It's called that. We live in New York.
Honestly,
honeys.
Fashion is about textural.
It's about soundscapes.
It's about soundscapes anyway. Fashion is all about sound, which is why this podcast works.
What,
so,
to be honest, it is.
Okay, so I've been buying jackets.
Yeah, buying jackets. Where?
And I bought what? Where?
Yeah, where?
This is so rude. This is so rude of you.
I know. I threw you right under the bus.
I have a friend who works at the Real Real, and I went there.
The brick and mortar.
The brick and mortar Real Real, because I don't buy clothing online.
Yeah, we
Wait,
don't.
Wait, are there three more car alarms that just started going off? Wait, let's be quiet.
I feel like it's an angry boyfriend.
An angry boyfriend is
Yeah, that's like honk, 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 bitch, honk, honk, honk,
honk,
bitch.
Honk, honk, like an angry goose, yeah. An angry Canadian goose.
Ugh, shivers.
Whatever, let's just cut to the chase. The other night I bought a Junya Watanabe jacket, and
okay,
which
I'm
is major
listening.
For me.
Horny.
Horny, horny, horny.
What does it look like?
It's relatively thin, so this is not one of those like robust jackets, which I... also bought recently, which is another piece of news that I have a robust jacket. The point of that whole thing is that I have a robust jacket that is now insulating me. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, I own a coat.
Right.
And now I'm so mad. I'm even more mad than I was.
Why are you mad? Like, what is the resentment? Oh, that you didn't do it before. Yeah. No, you have to. I mean, I've never done that. Speaking as someone who like still wears a sweater around her head to avoid buying a scarf and a hat.
Seven layers.
Yeah.
Seven
layers. I'm deep, constantly seven layers deep. I don't understand this like good coat thing. I think it's lame.
But you know what? Even this like puffy jacket that I got, which is like, what would you call it? It's like a royal like blue.
It's a periwinkle almost.
Periwinkle. Periwinkle, isn't that like, kind of pale?
It's like a Pocahontas blue.
The point is it looks cartoonishly blue. It's like cartoonishly
blue. It's like Disney Prussian blue.
Disney Prussian blue. That is so correct.
Yeah.
But even the thing about this jacket is that like, even though it's like a real jacket, it actually is a little bit too short for me.
Yeah, so it looks like a woman's jacket.
It is definitely a woman's jacket. And
it looks like a fucking woman's jacket.
And it is. And so that means that my belt line is a little bit cold sometimes and my wrists sometimes too. But that's okay.
Because truly, you can't do anything right in the winter.
Yeah. But so I bought this Junya Watanabe jacket.
Okay, and what does it look like?
Okay. So it's like taupe. It's like
this thin. Is taupe like reddish?
No, taupe is like that. It's like it's like a beigey sort of thing.
Yeah, but is it like should I just red take it beige? Out? It's not
it
a mauve.
I'm going to take it out. Hang on one second. And can you describe it?
Yeah,
as I take
absolutely.
It out?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so he's opening his closet that's in the room that we're recording. He's turning on the lights. He's fumbling around. Some hanger sounds. Okay, now he pulls it out. Oh, okay. So initially, I'm saying, oh, that's how it sounds like. Initially, the biggest thing is it has, oh, whoa, it's Junya Watanabe, Comme des Garçons, no less, man. Okay, so it has a paisley. It's definitely different colors of beige and khaki.
Yeah.
It's
khaki.
It's a khaki with a light stripe.
I would call this a fisherman's jacket. Is that crazy?
It is. Okay. It's a fisherman's jacket. It has a camel collar and it has like a saddle brown slight plaid pockets, that big pockets on the bottom, two pockets on the breast, and then when the same material, what are those called? Elbow
pads or elbow circles? I don't know.
Yeah, like elbow circles.
But it has like a really nice papery texture to it.
Yeah, it looks totally paper world. And then in the inside, there's a slight paisley.
Yeah, there's like a half paisley up towards the shoulders lining.
On the inside with the beautiful Prussian blue label that says Junya Watanabe Comme des Garçons, man, big letters, man. It's quite elegant. It's very masculine.
It is. It's super masculine for me, which is, but it's a little bit,
now,
but you know how I undercut that? Or what were you going to say?
Because it's hanging next to your Coach jacket that you also got at The Real Real. And the Coach jacket is very girly.
Let's bleep it out every time we say it, just because I want endorsements before I advertise.
Oh, absolutely. Let's always bleep that out. Okay. And so next to the Coach, I guess, we have to bleep out everything.
Every single thing. No, Coach is fine.
Okay. The Coach seems sort of more feminine.
Yeah.
And then the fisherman jacket is very mask. And it's very,
but you
like,
know how I undercut that a little
it's
bit?
It's very almost, it feels very absent boyfriend. It seems like very like a guy that you're trying to chase the emotional life out of. And he's just not budging.
Ruby, I'm so sorry about everything you're going through. But I undercut it by it being too big for me.
Oh, cool.
Which I think makes it more femme.
Oh, it is. That is. So you're wearing it like a boyfriend jacket.
You're a fan of Junya.
I am. Watanabe, right? Always.
Okay. I am too.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Comme des Garçons, so by proxy.
And Junya is, should we do a little history corner?
Absolutely.
All right, history corner.
Learn your history. Learn. History corner.
Song. Okay, So history. Oh, do you have like the time mark for that? History Corner, Junya Watanabe, born in Fukushima, Japan, famous for exploding.
Literally, I'm shivering, I'm quivering.
Yeah. Started at Comme des Garçons, 1985.
So very early in Comme des Garçons' history, but just as Comme des Garçons was becoming sort of an international sensation.
Yeah. And Comme des Garçons, obviously famously, is run by Rei Kawakubo, very like Japanese deconstructionist, fashion label. You know, just do a quick Google search, you guys, okay?
Yeah, seriously, don't leave it to fucking all
Don't leave it to us, okay? So he has been like a protege of Rei Kawakubo, the head designer of Comme des Garçons for, like, since
you
forever.
Do the math,
but he started
years.
Designing under his own name in 1992.
Interesting, the year I was born.
Yeah, that's interesting, because he started at Comme des Garçons just a little bit before I was born, a few years before I was born.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so he is sort of marked by his... So, okay, if Comme des Garçons is all about sort of like crazy deconstructed fashion,
mm-hmm.
he's sort of marked by sort of working within the confines of fashion and... sort of poking at it from the inside, whereas like I feel like sort of Comme des Garçons is trying to like sort of blow it up from the inside. Does that make sense?
I don't really see the distinction. Can you go further into that?
Yeah, because like because ultimately like a lot of his designs are sort of all about like taking, like doing his own riffs, like an almost like scientific dissection of riffs on pre-existing fashion like pieces, you know, like he has these shows that are like all about the trench coat or whatever, and it's done in like 50,000 different ways, you know, or
right,
you know, or like he does these pieces that look like one type of garment from the front and then another type of garment from the back or whatever.
Right, so like whereas like Comme des Garçons, they are like reinventing garments, period.
Exactly. Comme des Garçons is all about
blowing
it all up, you know, and he's very like dissecting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like he's also sort of like a very like quiet person. Not a lot is known about him. He doesn't reveal very much in interviews. There was a New York Times article written about him a couple years ago. It was a little interview that was sort of interesting, but also did not elucidate very much about mm-hmm. his personal life because he just mm-hmm. refuses to talk about it. Yeah, you know, so he defines his stuff with this Japanese word called monozukuri, which is the closest translation in English is craftsmanship.
Hmm.
But the word craftsmanship, it doesn't quite hit it because craftsmanship, and this is talked about in the New York Times article, that craftsmanship is, like the etymology of that is craftman. You know, so it's like it's sort of about the person making it, whereas monozukuri, mono means like thing, and zukuri is like that is made, so it's about sort of the thing that is made as opposed, so it sort of removes the ego from the piece.
Right, interesting.
Yeah, which I think is sort of, which is also an interesting contrast because later in the article they talk about how people tend to describe his work as being very Japanese. But he sort of refutes that a bit. But I kind of think that it is very Japanese in a very subtle way. Like, because there's one way of looking at it and being like, oh, it looks like a kimono. And like, therefore, it's Japanese or something. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. it's like, but that's not the reason that it's Japanese. It's like his work speaks of Japanese aesthetic because of the type of hand that I think...
Right, and it honors the garment for what it is mm-hmm. rather than what it can become. So it's mm-hmm. like the respect for an object totally.
Yeah. And sort of like another thing about Junya is that like his runway shows are marked by their scarceness. Like they tend to be pretty free of color and sound.
Hmm.
And he spreads his models out really, really far so that you really get... So the audience gets a very distinct look at every piece.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Also, I just want to read like a couple of little
please
quotes from it, if that's okay. Sorry, I'm like, if I'm like bulldozing through this. If you have anything that you want to chime in with.
No, I'm learning.
Okay, so sorry, I'm like I'm like rereading this. He says, "I don't know how others see fashion," and this is, I'm quoting the New York Times article right now. I don't know how others see fashion, Watanabe says. But to me, fashion is creating something new through clothes. That's what really drew me in the beginning. And this is the person writing the article saying, I asked him if he's achieved his goal. He says, to this day, I feel that I haven't quite been able to portray the new. That's something constant that I'm trying to work towards. Which I think is also sort of like, that's also sort of like, I think a very like Japanese aesthetic to be this like never reaching your peak, to always be reaching for something more perfect. I mean, you look at like, sorry, this is like such a like base level thing, but like Jiro Dreams of Sushi is like another example of like this like classically like Japanese, Japanese perfectionism, which is the acknowledgement that perfection can never be achieved.
Well, yeah, that's definitely like, I think a really healthy way of thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so too.
But also what is so fun about Junia is like the wearability of their garments is so much more than Comme des Garçons. Like there's an aspect of Comme des Garçons, and I own a lot of Comme des Garçons, that's like their pieces, you don't wear them that often. Whereas like I have a pair of Junia pants that I like could wear every single goddamn fucking day. And there's like a sexuality to Junia that is a very different sexuality in Comme des Garçons. Whereas like Comme des Garçons is like about covering yourself and like layers.
It's very cocooning. And it's very cocooning.
And it's about the drama of a silhouette and like what your body can like present underneath seven fucking layers. It's very like Californian in New York in the winter. Whereas Junia, like Junia designs bathing suits and stuff. Like Junia's about... Yeah. It's a different sexuality. I like Junia a lot.
Yeah.
I really like Junia Watanabe a lot. Yeah,
I do too. And actually what you're saying is something else that was brought up in the article. You know, like, it's interesting because like his, even though his clothes are, for like a lack of a better word, very wearable, like he has actually a very abstract process by which he comes to those places. Right. You know, like I think a lot of designers are traditionally, you know, influenced by fashion of the past, you know, like, oh, I'm drawing from like the 40s or whatever, you know, and
the
like,
40s.
And like, yeah, like, oh, ragtime, whatever, yeah, you know,
I'm
like
putting on a ragtime.
But so he, what is sort of distinguishing about him is that he says, you know, it says that he no longer looks at the work of his peers. It says this in the article, and he states, I don't really know what they're doing. Instead, you know, he sort of acts as his own frame of reference. So he's sort of like, he's sort of constantly pulling in like influence from all other areas to influence his clothing as opposed to from fashion, which I think is kind of my general philosophy in art in general, where I'm like, if you're going to school for painting, you should be taking every class except for painting. You know, if you're going to school for sculpture, none of your classes should be in sculpture. Like everything should be in everything else, because because if you are a sculptor, you're going to be sculpting no matter what. And like, and if you're referencing other sculptures, like that's just cannibalistic.
Right.
So I'm like very into his
process.
His process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm with it. So I'm very with it. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Well, that was your history corner, BB.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
How'd you like that?
Hit us up at sofashioningpodcast@gmail.com to let us know what you think. Just kidding. Don't fucking email me. Us. Except actually do.
Honestly, it would be cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sofashioningpodcast@gmail.com. And this was our sixth grade project about clothes in Japan.
Okay, I just threw my head back in laughter and noticed like really bad water damage on my ceiling.
I'm seeing it too.
It's from this thing. Oh no, it's over there too. Okay, I really got to text my landlord. She's very mad at me right now though.
Why didn't you not pay rent?
No, I'm a golden tenant. I just notified her of some things that were going on with the apartment that a landlord should be aware of, and she got mad at me and thought that I was like threatening her or like lying to her. And anyway,
okay, the drama.
We can't. We can't. So that's crazy. Insane. Should I flick on a light? I feel like it's getting dim in here.
Yeah, it's getting a little dim.
Okay, hang on one second. Can you why don't you give a little intro to what we're about to do, and I'll turn on some lights.
Okay.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's right. It happens twice a year, so they say, but the rules may be changing because it feels like there's a fashion week every single week, but definitely this week is special because it is Nihua. New York Fashion Week. That's right. It's Nihua coming for you, to you, packaged, not in an Amazon box, bitches, but in a big old Bergdorf's bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's New York Fashion Week, and this is basically the million.
And we're rotting.
This is the second year in a row we weren't invited to the Echo Salada show. It's okay. So we won't be reviewing it. None of these shows that we're about to talk about we went to, but literally Nihua is a really long week. It doesn't even seem like a week. It seems like it's 2 weeks.
6 years.
And there are some fashion shows that we will be attending that we will be talking about. But let's just... So far, Nihua happened, and I didn't even know it was happening. There was
Literally
no one knew except for those skinny bitches that got those fucking emails of their fucking fittings for these shows. Mm. There were some major downtown luminary casting in some of these shows, including... edit this out. What's her name? What's her last name? Dasha Necroskova. Whatever. Necroskova. Anyway, rewind. There were some major downtown luminaries.
New York Fashion Week happens but once a week, and this week it's all about fashion.
It's all about fashion. It's all about the runway. It's all about 1, 2, 3 fashion. It's all like
1, 2, 3 fashion, go.
Strike a pose.
There's nothing to it.
1, 2, 3 strike a pose. Ruined. I'm ruined, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So, yeah, casting was on fleek with, you know, your normal regulars such as...
Yes.
Paloma and fucking who else is there?
And the other
unlike one, like, some other bitch.
There's that girl that's tall.
Bobby, formerly known as Indium and US. There's some like some hotties.
Lindsay.
Oh, there's Michael Bailey Gates in the Echo Salada show.
Ricardo
was there. But also Dasha Necrasova was in it, and she is a new resident of New York. So she's hitting Nihua with a big old fucking big old bang. And she's in a bunch of these shows. So watch out for Dasha, bitch. She is in the fucking Echo Salada casting, bitch.
Can I really want to get your Mountain Spring water bottle cast in a show.
I know.
It's so
She's
tall.
So
it's
tall.
Honestly so tall and skinny.
I have a huge Trader Joe's Mountain
it's
Spring water bottle.
Crazy.
She's ginormous. She's so hot.
She's so hot. Who else do I want to see in a fashion show?
Honestly, okay.
I have a really nice lamp here that I think would look great in clothing.
Absolutely. Also just... that copy of the Artist's Way.
The Artist's Way? Shit.
Yeah, Yeah, that fucking copy of the Artist Way, bitch.
Yeah, wearing. Yeah, the copy of the Artist Way wearing.
Wearing a corset.
Yeah.
Smoking!
We're
wearing a, sort of like olive silk cami dress that like sort of it's sort of like sort a nightgown like that's with like a rough
sort
hem
of like
at the end.
Row.
Yeah, like the row. Yeah, the Artist Way wearing the row.
That is honestly to die for. That's so beautiful. Okay. So we're just reviewing some highlights from Fashion Week thus far. We're going to be, and I know friend of the pod, Julio Torres, when we did this last fall Fashion Week 2018, he actually typed in the names of the art of the designers and followed along with us reviewing. So if you want to just pop onto Vogue.com and review with us, please feel free.
It's a little bit weird to like navigate to the Vogue runway like sub website, so I always just Google Vogue runway.
Oh my god, thank you.
And click on the first thing. That's my hot tip. That's my fashion tip.
Oh my god, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so first on the Duke.
We're gonna talk Telfar.
Okay, so Telfar in its, you know, stunning fashion.
That's your review. Telfar. Stunning. First of all, it's stunning. Secondly, it's fashion. Next show.
No, Telfar in its typical fashion, I mean, there's a little trick to this show. And what's the trick, you may ask? Okay. The models hit the runway and then they crowd surf through the crowd, and that's hot. And everybody's obsessed with that crowd surfing thing.
Basically, what does that make you feel?
I like the gimmicks that Telfar pulls. I'm here for. Yeah. Last year, fall 2018, they did that amazing R&B show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just fucking works. Like, it's on paper, it sounds lame. Cheesy.
But you know what?
But it works.
I've been thinking about this, and like what they're doing consistently is like, okay, I saw some review on the Vogue website that was like, oh, the runway show, is it over? Do we need it? Like, and I'm sort of like, yeah, you fucking need it, because you need, like, clothing is about community. So like, I feel like you need to create a community, like, feeling when you're making these shows. Well, like, it's about people getting together and experiencing it in the moment.
I also feel like it's, Instagram and in the age of like us sort of dealing with the multiple personas in all of us or whatever, I think we all have to admit that as millennials, old or young millennials, and then Gen whatever, Zers or Y or Gen Zers, whatever the fuck you guys are, I think everyone's addicted to theater, and I think everyone's secretly a theater artist, and I think I think so much of what's like hip to millennials is like oppressed theater artistry, and I think I'm shocked that fashion hasn't pushed more into like theater expressive fashion shows. Whereas Telfar always has.
Can you give me an example?
Well,
of what
not to like blow it up or anything, but my collaborators Leah Hennessy and Emily Allen are actually directing a show for Vaquera at MoMA in April. So we will be using based on The Wizard of Oz. I'm not even joking.
The Wizard.
So we would be putting on a fashion play. But I remember talking to Patrick DiCaprio of Vaquera years ago about being like fashion plays, and we were talking about it for a really long time.
And it
is shocking to me that it's like takes 5 years later for it to actually be a fashion play. Whereas like Vaquera was showing in churches and in boxing rings. Mm-hmm. Telfar also, you know, Vaquera sort of took one from Telfar, and Telfar has always been doing shows in extreme ways and extreme sort of performative, performative exploration of the show. And also it adds sort of an inherent wearability to the clothing, because you're seeing the models experience the clothing in different ways. Whereas like last mm-hmm. year, this time, you were seeing like musicians wearing clothing and dancing in it. Automatically, you're like, I could wear that. I can see myself wearing that.
Right.
Whereas this year, you know, Telfar typically does have more casual looks, really well-made, tailored yeah. tops and bottoms. You're seeing people crowd surf during it. You're like, that is evocative of sexual acceptance, sexuality, sort of a rock star vibe, but sort mm-hmm. of a casual. It also is literally taking the body from vertical to horizontal. That's yeah. a literal yeah. motion, which yeah. is, you know, evocative of laying down or what. You're just yeah. seeing the body actually move through space, yeah. which in these clothing
yeah.
pieces, which is just also so
something that's kind of fun about that is that it's all about touch.
It's all about touch.
You never
yeah.
get to do in a runway show, obviously.
I think like our last review of Telfar was like, and I will say this again, it's like every piece of Telfar feels like your jeans that like a boyfriend from 10 years ago left at your apartment mm-hmm. and you're still wearing because mm-hmm. they just fit you so well and like remind you of a person that you once loved. There's something so romantic and tactile.
There's a sense of like distance about yeah. his work.
It is romantic in a nostalgic way, sort of. Even yeah. though it looks not very like a cheesy future.
Nostalgia. No, I don't think it's like
it's
a cheesy
not
nostalgia.
Sentimental. It's
yeah.
Just,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's nostalgic in this yeah. bizarre way, but
there's sort of like a dusty haze over like everything that he does.
Yeah,
I just think
absolutely.
It's so beautiful.
So these silhouettes yeah. are like a little like 2000s Wild Wild West. A little bit.
Lenny Kravitz vibes.
I really like these.
He does a lot of these like corduroy looks that look like suede from a distance because of their texture and their color. And I really like that play of like when things become different at different distances.
Yeah.
I think that's really successful. Yeah, and like I don't know, there's this sort of vibe from it obviously has like a lot of like Western influences, whatever. What?
It's so Lenny Kravitz.
It's so Lenny Kravitz. Like there's like the, you know, there's like the cowboy boots and you know, there's like some fringe going on and things that sort of look like suede. And it sort of gives me this vibe of like, oh, we went west and it didn't work out.
Mm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so now we're just sort of like
We're dealing with these clothes. Yeah.
This piece is a little bit crazy. Number 13.
Yeah. Number 13 is a female look.
And we're getting, we have to note this color because this comes
yeah,
back.
Yeah. So there's like this
banana flesh. What did we call it? Like antique lemon cream pie.
Yeah. Antique
lemon creme.
Yeah.
That's very popular this season. And it's really
across
in right now, which is
shows.
Really interesting.
And I just have to tell everybody who's a designer, and I don't care. Fucking crucify me. This color doesn't look good on any person. On any person, any skin tone, any
nothing.
Size, yeah. any it's awful. It's full blown awful.
You know what I'm realizing, which what? Is so weird, is that
tell
a few
me.
Weeks ago, I was designing a sweater in my head.
That was this color. This must be a zeitgeist thing. This must be like true evidence of brainwashing because I'm telling
you guys, every fucking show
we looked at, flesh, banana flesh.
Banana flesh, not banana peel, like the flesh inside.
Again, antique banana creme. Antique lemon creme. It's almost lemony. It's a yeah. lemon creme, but yeah. it's putrid. It's a putrid lemon pastel. It's so fucking evil. I hate that color.
But the rest of the show is bad.
I'm upset.
And also, just talking about that look one more time, that number 13, it's clearly intentional that she looks like shit.
Yeah, but I love that model. Model is a yes.
The model is a strong yes for me as well.
Shirt and chaps is a no.
Is there anything else that we want to say about this collection?
No, it just does it. It's just like, it's sexy. And again, Telfar continues to be sexy in the time of post-sex. I don't know mm-hmm. how they do it. I don't know how much sex they have, but it's truly shocking because there's no other fucking designer I know that makes actually sexy clothing.
A long time ago in an episode that we never released, you and I were talking about what we want to wear when we're trying to feel sexy. And I was saying how something that makes me feel sexy is mixing of how close to my body clothes are. So if I wear like tight pants, I want to wear sort of like a big loose shirt. Or if I wear like a tight like tank top up top, I kind of want to wear like loose pants, and that mixture sort of makes me feel like the combinations of restrictions and freedom that feels very sexual to me. And I think that Telfar kind of does that. Like, you look at a lot of his pants where it's like very fitted in the middle, and then all of a sudden it sort of flares out, or like, you know, these like, or like, you know, he has this look like, you know, like number four, where it's like,
untailored.
It's like kind of like choking the person who's wearing, like the shirt underneath is like choking the person who's wearing it. But then all the accoutrements, like the pants and the jacket, are
like loose,
have a lot of air.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I think it sort of has that going on for it.
I totally agree. I think like, that's also just like what is sexy and fashionable is sort of like a juxtaposition of put together and coming apart. And
yes.
That's like
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, because that is what's sexual is like. It's as if you're seeing the act of someone take off their clothes without taking their clothes off.
Yeah. And what is more human than just falling apart and coming back together?
Oh my God. Hello, sweetie. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Ruby. Ever heard of me?
Please welcome Diane Keaton.
Okay, next. On to the next one. Okay.
Barf, fucking kill me at Mariam Nasirzadeh.
Yeah, seriously. So I have some friends that work for her, but gotta be, and she's a regular at my restaurant. However,
she's never going to buy a coffee from you again.
I will tell her that this last collection was a little so insane. Bad right me now. Too, me too. We're gonna not
what kind of
get
coffee?
A cortado. Okay. Anyway, okay. Bye. Or cortado. Okay. But Mariam Nasirzadeh, I love your shoes. I really do love your shoes. I always love your shoes. If you hear this, sponsor a bitch, but I will come down hard on this last collection.
She's absolutely not going to sponsor you after what we're about to say about this.
So basically, this was an exploration of
how to ruin women.
Of how to make women look fucking insane.
Okay, I'm sorry. Ruby broke just now because I hit the number five look of Mariam, and I'm Mariam Nasir, Nasir Zadeh. Do they?
Yes.
I didn't. Okay. You guys, look number five.
Number five
on the Vogue
is
website
heinous.
Is
so basically this.
Let's just describe it for the people at home who cannot see it.
This is a strapless tweed. It seems like it's a tweed sort of thicker fabric in a red plaid strapless dress with what is supposed to be a take on a sweetheart neckline, with a.
But it's basically like a deep U cut out with. Ruched, wrinkled breast cups.
Ostensibly because the woman couldn't fit into the cups, which is like, then put her in another fucking look, bitch.
Yeah,
then,
or just fill it with something.
Or just, like get a chicken fucking cutlet out of some stylist's bag. Anyway, and then
put
get,
it in a Ziploc. And
get, you
fill it with banana cream pudding.
And then underneath the long strapless dress is a power clash. Lavender.
Powerless clash, I would say.
Yeah, but this whole thing is about power clashes that don't work.
They don't work.
There's a power clashed pant that is like lilac and maroon with a black sock and a bronze sort of slip-on mule, I guess. Toes exposed with a black like sock underneath. This
also,
chick
can we talk
is
strapless with the hair, this
loose
girl's hair, loosely
braid.
Tied in a knot, and thrown over one shoulder,
and then the
with terrible posture
dress is belted with a small, small black crocodile. It's like a
purse
small
belt.
Purse belt.
It's a fanny pack.
But they're using it as a crocodile belt or whatever. Okay, so basically, That is heinous, and I'm obsessed with look number five because it's full heinousness. And if somebody came to, I don't know, any function, a normal function, any function, and you saw this woman there, you'd be like, ring, ring, we need to get her to the hospital. Like, she looks like shit in the craziest way possible. It's very, like, Brittany Murphy and Uptown Girls
scream
meets,
if this woman came around the
yeah,
corner.
It's like, yeah. Brittany Murphy and Uptown Girls meets, like, Anne Hathaway in Devil's Wears Prada. It's like
Devil's
the,
Wears Prada.
I don't even know what the fuck.
It's sort of
it's
like
insane. It's full pandering to women, being like, "You crazy motherfuckers want to wear this stupid shit." It's like this insanity. This whole collection also is about how to make women's boobs look bad. And this yes. is the thing yes. is like, even if you are a surfboard chest, you can still make your boobs look good. I don't buy this, like, bigger or plumper is like, it's like we all have tits and they're all cute. Like, get the fuck over yourself. Like, just make your tits look good and don't put all these skinny bitches in these booby things that are falling off their chest and they look literally fucking awful. Anyway.
Okay, can I tell you what this look sort of looks like to me? It looks like this woman killed Diane Keaton and put on her like skin and ran out the door quickly.
It's very Diane Keaton right now.
It's very
post,
Diane Keaton right
yes,
now.
I would like to touch a man.
Postmenopausal
that's
Diane
exactly
Keaton.
It
it's yeah, postmenopausal
exactly
Diane Keaton.
It
it's not what any fertile downtown diva wants to wear. However, I'm sure all the downtown divas are going to wear this again because we're in a post-sex culture and we're not interested in getting laid anymore, I guess, is really the biggest thing that I'm getting from here. Again, I'm just fast-forwarding it. Yeah. There's also... Oh,
Jesus
there's
fucking
also,
Christ.
Most of the long dresses, okay, are
all
in this
come in that
banana
goddamn banana
flesh,
banana lemon antique cream.
Yeah, and it's on... Every model with every skin tone, it is a travesty.
Also, wait, okay.
Everyone looks like a fucking sexless idiot baby. I don't understand what the fuck this color came from or what sentient alien.
You're so right about the baby food. Sort of yeah.
It's like baby food. It some alien civilization beamed this color down to us and we all fucking took it up the ass for this fucking color. Like, it is everywhere in this collection. This is collection number two, also featuring antique lemon clem. Also, here's some highlights too. There's these bizarre snakeskin low belts that are at the hips, not waist. I'm sort of obsessed with them because they are so heinous. They're very Halle Berry in the Flintstones movie. And I mean, call yeah. there, but they could, you can also imagine them on like Little Kim, like early 2000s when she was like super thin out of nowhere, right. Wearing it as like a bottom on uh-huh. stage. Uh-huh. It's very like, uh-huh. it's very what
she
a mini skirt.
As a bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very like what a mini skirt was considered in 2000.
When the ass was when the ass crack was on, you could see the ass yeah. crack on top and the butt cheeks hanging
yeah,
out the bottom.
That's exactly.
That was my favorite.
The classic mini yeah. skirt of 2000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This, a lot of these looks are sort of like, you know, like how, like, in Project Runway, though, it's like, I need a look that can go from day to night or whatever.
It's very,
like,
let's go from day to night.
It's oh, I was
so
thinking, it's like, let's go from, like, Trader Joe's to, like, the gallery show that, oops, it's actually closed today, and then back to Trader Joe's.
Oh, darling.
Sorry, I know. I'm sorry. That was really
that's
stupid.
Really...
I actually hate that I said that. I
no,
want to point that out.
Why? I love that.
Because that's so, like, I'm a bitchy faggot talking about clothing.
It's very let's go let's it's very I can't get into the party let's
it's
go
very
Jesus.
I can't get into the party, that's what it is really.
But then there's also these like oversized tops. Oh my god, I can't even look at that one, please go next.
Ruby is referring to look number 19,
which is fringe.
It's wait. It is, I think, a secondhand sweatshirt that has fringe,
beaded fringe
running across the chest so as to eliminate, obscure, or confuse the breast area.
Exactly. Make your tits look
leading
bad.
Into that sort
snake
of
snakeskin belt.
A snakeskin
belt.
Big
chunky mini skirt belt.
And And when we say belt, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking a thick belt with like a buckle.
No.
This is a sort of trapezoid of faux animal print.
Yeah.
With sort of like its uneven sides, sort of like appended with a fabric that sort of like loops back into itself through a hole in the animal's skin.
Yeah, there's no buckle.
There is no buckle, and actually it looks like it maybe wouldn't work as a belt.
Right, I think it would. I'm looking at it and it works as a belt, but I don't know if it like undoes. I don't know. I have no idea.
You can get in, but you can't get out of it.
Perhaps. And okay. Then over this yellow belt, underneath it is a long tweed red skirt, the same fabric that the
same dusty rose,
this strapless red, yeah, horror show dress that I was describing,
and then
is in.
chunky zebra in black and orange.
Again, this is like, and then also guess what?
Or brown? I can't even tell what that is.
It's sable and black, and It's sable and black, bitch. And then also,
I would like to touch a man in an area special. The area
whoever
where the
cast
man
the
is
show
happy.
Criminal.
Because it was like, let's put the redhead in a bowl cut in this horror show. It's like that bitch with a fucking red bowl cut.
Well, it was either the casting job
turquoise
or
hell
the hair person
sweatshirt.
Because the hair person, as we've seen, cannot touch black hair.
And cannot
do not touch these beautiful black girls' hair.
No.
It's
every
crazy
black
what
model
this person
in this
did.
Show, they got their hair slicked back and then has a cowlick.
A cowlick.
It's just like protests should be made for how this hairstylist did these black girls' hair. It's full blown insanity. Okay.
This look is crazy. Number 20.
20 is crazy. I love it. There is some... Wait,
I actually fucking hate it.
Oh, I like... There's
it's too
acid...
print all over me for me.
I understand that. Yeah. But there's this like acid neon tie-dye
sort of nice,
thing,
yeah,
which I sort of am into. And I respect.
But then it has like,
I mean,
this lace fringe
highlight
on it. You keep looking away, which makes me think that you actually hate it.
I don't love it. No, I don't love any
And also
of this.
You earlier said that it made her pussy look so fat, which
it
is
did.
Crazy.
Which is like, I don't even believe in fat pussies, but obviously I just saw a fat pussy. Also, just
what do you mean you don't
these...
believe in fat pussies? What does that mean?
I just hate when people say fat pussy.
It's horrible
it's
to
horrifying.
Say. I've never said it
and
in
it's
my
just
life.
Like, don't do it, but I just said that. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Should we bleep it out?
No. Okay. It's here. It's here. It's queer. Okay, yeah. So this was
we have to move on. I can't talk about this anymore because as I keep flipping through it just makes me more and more upset.
It's so pandering.
I'm actually closing this window entirely because I just want to feel that satisfaction. Okay,
it's like, I wonder if it was like trying to be like girl bossy or something. Like, I have no idea what the mood board was.
That is not girl boss. That is like a girl, like, I'm in production.
What's not girl boss about being in production?
Like, you're not the boss of the department. You're sort of like one of the...
Oh,
like,
you're
like, oh, I'm doing... Like,
you're
the
fashionable
the numbers.
Intern.
I'm doing the numbers.
It's a number cruncher. It's a number cruncher.
It's a number cruncher outfit.
But also just like for all of those designers out there, just like don't ridicule people's chests by making them look bad. That's so lame.
It's so
That's
rude.
So fucking
it's so
rude.
Rude.
Get a fucking life. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Obsessed. Okay,
so,
next one
Rodarte?
Is going to be Rodarte.
Okay. So,
overall,
despite ourselves, we like it.
Yes. It took us a while because we were feeling very emotional about Fashion Week in general. And we're
getting
just like,
very triggered
going
by everything.
On about in fashion? It's so disturbing. And at first, this was disturbing too. There's some beret looks that really were disturbing to me in the Rodarte collection.
Sort
However,
of a lot of like, oh, and also like, I am very knee-jerky lately about dramatic silhouettes because I'm very like everything's designed for Instagram. Mm-hmm. Everything's designed to be seen on a little phone. So everything's like too big and like too colorful. And like, I'm very like, get the fuck away. Like, I feel so like vampire hunter with everything. Like, I'm like, I have like a fucking crossbow in my hand. I'm like, get that away. What the fuck is that? You know, like, I don't want to see that big fucking red pink coat.
Yes,
like,
yes,
boom,
yes.
You're
I
dead,
don't
want to
see
know?
The big red pink coat, by the way, ladies going on ASOS later tonight. Do not buy that
don't you
red pink
fucking
coat.
go on ASOS. If you listen to this podcast and you go on ASOS,
I feel bad for you.
Good night.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I'm done.
Okay. So okay. Rodarte. What Rodarte is always processing is romanticism in whatever era they've chosen. Rodarte is primarily known for doing really maximalist gowns. Mixtures of textures in the form of gowns, a lot of like netting and like feathers and yeah. like they just mix all types of shit, and it doesn't always hit home for me. Mm-hmm. But every now and again they have a collection that suddenly is like a sudden departure, right. and it's fabulous. They also, for you know, those of you out there who maybe aren't aware, they did like the costuming for Black Swan, whatever. So
right. I mean, there's a definite like cinematographic aspect of Rodarte yeah. that's like really yeah. amazing. And if you are like a cinephile, there's definitely like direct references to movies and their clothes. Like, I think this is a direct reference, this collection, to The Women, which is a 40s movie with Rosalind Russell and Joan Crawford. And it's a very girly, very romantic sort of like Schiaparelli's mm-hmm. disco does 40s, like Ziegfeld Follies almost. It's very showgirl. Ziegfeld Follies, like flower contest or mm-hmm. something. It's very girly. It's very February 14th, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Like
it
box is of chocolate, sort of like, yeah. box of candies.
Yeah. There's some See's Candies looks in yeah. here.
And like at first I want to, again, like Max was saying, like want to say no to anything that's like overly girly, overly maximal, even though that is who I am at a core of myself. Instagram really is beginning to ruin my life.
I would like to touch a man. Just anywhere at all.
In all aspects, including my ability to enjoy things that I would usually really enjoy. Yeah. This collection took me a moment of just calming down, having a sip of water, and then like yeah. realizing that I liked that it's all actually of the very silhouettes.
Sweet. Yeah. This, you know what? This entire show is kind of like all about the angles. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Like everything is like, there's all these like really quite beautiful patterns, beautiful textiles. Very sweet color usage. I think it's actually relatively concise, even though it does have like a sort of romantic drama to it. But then like, it's all sort of, everything is like cropped above, like just below like mid shin.
Right.
And the feet are like these, all these like sleek, cute shoes yeah. with like colorful hose underneath them. And
it's really about like the splendidness of the female form. Like it's like all ruffles and insanity yeah. up yeah. top. And then it like trickles down to the ankle. This, yeah. And it's like yeah. fetish at every turn. And it I really like this collection. I would wear a lot of it.
The more, honestly, like this is now my like fourth time looking at it. And I'm like, actually, I fucking love this.
Yeah, it's just like, it's romantic. It's simple. It's maximal while being minimal.
It's maximal like, while not being too attention-seeking, yes, I think. Yes,
and it's not like clickbaity at all. There's
it's
also
not. It's really not.
Beautiful caps that they put on all the models, like the that matches the dresses exactly. I like that sort of, yeah. sort of like Sunday. It's very like
it's very Sunday.
It's yeah. very Sunday. It's very like Valentine's on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's, I just appreciate it. It's a breath.
It's
of
very
pressure.
Valentine's on a Sunday.
It is. It's Valentine's on a Sunday. And I appreciate it because God damn it, I'm becoming so jaded.
It has some sweet. It has some like yeah, like sweetheart, like 80s teen girl aspects to it too. But it doesn't. But it's not.
No,
it's that's not that's like mostly in like silhouettes, not in like textures or colors or
yeah
or anything like that.
It's nice. It's a nice like respite yeah. from things that are trying to have a point.
Speaking of which, I just flipped the tab to someone that we really need to talk
okay,
about.
Okay, so
there's someone new on the scene.
Yeah.
There's someone new on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As of like a few weeks ago, basically.
Yeah. Literally out of nowhere, bullet into the eyes of fashion.
A few weeks ago, Tomo Koizumi was this like designer in Japan who was making clothes for Japanese performers around town. He had like 2,000 followers. He's, I think, relatively fresh out of art school, like in the grand scheme of life or whatever.
Yeah, like maybe like 5 or 6 years out of art school or something.
And all of a sudden, he's been like catapulted into this position via Marc Jacobs.
Also specifically Katie Grand, his stylist. Yes. Marc Jacobs' stylist for all of his shows.
Who reached out to Tomo.
Right.
And they threw together a show at the Marc Jacobs store.
The new Marc Jacobs store in Madison, which is amazing. Like this show was at the Marc Jacobs store and it is amazing. It's really very evocative of Halston's old store on Madison Avenue. It's very like,
you're saying the store is incredible.
Yeah. It's like the store is evocative of like a 70s Artelier.
How recently did it open?
I think it's pretty new.
Okay. That adds a new layer onto this that I'm actually now totally understanding.
Yeah.
Because this designer is like being widely lauded for this like incredible aesthetic that he has derived that is very specific to him. But there's sort of this like dark pall over it for me that I sort of want to build up to a little bit. So if you guys are looking at this, Tomo, T-O-M-O, last name Koizumi, K-O-I-Z-U-Umi. and his aesthetic is very, it's like heavily, heavily ruched. It's not tulle. It's like a different type of like Japanese, like polyester, like fabric or something. But it's this very, very colorful layering. I think there's like, I think in the article it said there were like 400 different fabric colors used in this show. So he does a lot of like these like sort of ombre effects with these incredible amounts of ruching that create bulbous, flower-like sculptural shapes. And it's very impactful. If at times I think a bit underdesigned, and I'm a little bit bothered by it because looking at his Instagram and looking at these pieces, it feels a little bit like he's going super ham on this technique that he figured out while I'm not sure his voice is fully figured out.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm really worried that he's going to get chewed up and spat out and will be gone in 2 years.
Right.
And now that you're telling me that the store just opened, I'm realizing that they pulled someone who is very impactful and young so that they could use him to promote the store.
Yeah.
To get feet in the store.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sinister. But let's talk about the clothes. Let's talk about the clothes.
And also, Marc Jacobs has a history of supporting up and coming designers.
Yeah.
So there's also just like a history of.
So hopefully this isn't that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's all chill.
Right.
But like, I get weird vibes from it.
Huh. I mean, I don't get the same weird vibes that Max does, but Max is very irked. So I am sort of paying attention to that.
So what do you feel looking at this stuff?
I mean, I like, there are some pieces that are super, super sculptural that are like evocative of like Bjork almost, which is like pedantic and pandering to everybody being like, this is like Bjork. But like literally Bjork has worn.
It is Bjork town.
Yeah, it's full Bjork town. But
it's new Bjork.
But then there's these other like trying to not make it as sculptural, like these ruched huge pieces that suddenly are a t-shirt of the Statue of Liberty and then go back out to like this crazy ruched, like continue the crazy sculptural ruching effect with like a t-shirt basically inset into it. Or another look 12, which is like a ruched tutu with like a black corset in the middle of it on top of a lace.
This is so baby world. This is so baby world to me.
So gross. And so like, it's just, there's aspects of like, I don't really understand how the tulle works with other aspects of garments. But like the more sculptural and the more like astral and the more alien,
the more conceptual he gets with it, I think the better it is.
Stunning it is. And like I just think like
anything that looks like a dress, I kind of hate.
Yeah, anything that's trying to be like, this is a little dress, is like, it looks so bad.
It's very sort of Carrie Bradshaw, which that should have been another news item for me, is that I saw a girl in Carrie Bradshaw drag, basically. Did I tell you about this?
That's happening more and more. I feel like Carrie Bradshaw's like coming back.
I'm not kidding. I was crossing the street on fucking 13th Street and 6th Avenue, and this girl comes around the corner wearing, I'm not shitting you,
a tutu.
A gold blazer and a big turquoise tulle skirt.
No.
And like, it's winter. It's still winter. Bare legs. A gust of wind hits her. She pushes down her skirt and giggles. And then hails a taxi. And I caught it on film.
Oh my God, you have to show.
I will show it to you. Yeah.
That's insane. I think the Carrie Bradshaw thing is coming back again, like in this post-sex universe. I think we don't know where to go with our sexuality.
We're post-sex and we're post the city.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Like the city's over. Yeah. Like everything's over. Everything's gentrified and expensive.
Can I talk about how we ate less than an hour ago and I'm already hungry?
I know, me too. And the class wars are beginning. So I just think like, of course, this Carrie Bradshaw moment is coming back. Anyway.
Anyway, look, like, I think this guy has some good ideas. Yeah, his technique is fun.
Some of them are so stunning.
And
truly.
God, I really hope that he doesn't get spat out, which I think he will.
I liked a lot of this personally. I was very like awed by it.
And 27 and 28 especially are
they're so amazing.
Jaw-dropping pieces. That are just like I don't even know how to describe them. I mean, they look like Baroque, like garden arrangements.
Yeah,
like
they're
blown. They look like topiaries.
Yeah, they all look topiary, and it's just, I'm into that. I like that. There's something that is really like eye roll about it, of course, but there's like another aspect of it where it's like, of course, this person is next on the fashion news cycle, you know? And I also think, I don't know, just mark my words, I feel like this is what everyone's going to be wearing this year on the red carpet. Psycho. I'm not joking. Psycho. I think everyone's going to go full psycho. Okay. Full psycho on the red carpet. Full, like, I think Cardi B is going to wear this. Like,
oh, I believe that. I believe Cardi B is wearing this right now as we speak.
Yeah,
I think she marched like, right into that Marc Jacobs store and she said, give me that Tomo Koizumi.
But it's like, it has nothing to do with your body. It's like anti-body. Like all of these pieces are so sculptural.
Which is
probably
why
I
hate the pieces that are trying to be about the body.
The pieces that are trying to be about the body are really fall flat. Yeah, they really fall flat. But the ones that aren't about the body and are just about the sculpture are magnificent. And I just think like, I think 2019 is about no body. I think this is like the continuation of that like Rihanna ruffled dress. I think it's like, you know, everyone's going to be in a Tomo this year.
Rihanna really ruined the Met Gala for everybody, didn't she?
Truly, because she spiked it so. She knocked it out of the park at opening, at 1-2-3 smile, and then everyone else. This has Met Gala written all
over it. We will be Tomo. We'll see at the gala.
Yeah, literally, okay. See at the gala, bitch.
So. We're still in the midst
That's hot.
Right now of New York Fashion Week, mm-hmm. and we'll keep you abreast of the other things that, you know, we want to talk about. But for now, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah, and stay tuned for some more classic
content
from your personal dilettante dandy, Max Wittert, mm-hmm. and your favorite Larry David of fashion, Ruby McAllister.
Follow us on Instagram. I'm Max Wittert, and there's also the So Fascinating Podcast Instagram. Ruby is, of course, at Aspiring 323 Actress. Rate us. Oh my God, you guys, rate us 5 stars. And also, if you have any advice that you need fashion-wise,
fashion
let
questions.
Us know. Like, email us at sofascinatingpodcast@gmail.com. Honestly, I kind of want to answer some questions.
Me too. I'm ready for it.
Even if it's literally just like, what should I wear with these pants? Let us know.
Absolutely. Please let us know. We're here for you.
Or if you want beauty tips, which, by the way, here's a beauty tip about your skin.
It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. The best you can do is get great jeans and drink water and hope for the best. You guys are doomed. There's no creams you can buy. Unless you want to spend a lot of money on a procedure, there's nothing you can do to help your skin.
And on that note,
bye.
Bye.